Hey, this is Jimmy T. My mate, my Dory mate, Bryce Isaiah, asked me to figure out a poem to tell on the Purple Pants podcast. Now, I don't have any purple pants, but boy, do I have some stories in mind. This one was told to me by my Dory mate, Richie, back in 1997. It's called The Ballad of the Three Green Waves by Ruth Moore. Ruth Moore usually writes novels, but this is from her book of ballads, and boy, is it priceless. I was wandering at sea when I saw Bryce in his purple pants. He said, "Oui, chale," and I said, "Come aboard."
Yes, sir. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.
Well, hello. It's been such a long time. Did you miss me? Because you know, because we go together and I feel like we haven't seen each other in almost like, I mean, maybe not seen each other, but you haven't heard my sweet, illustrious voice. Well, the Purple Pants Podcast is back off a hiatus, baby boy. And whew, you know, I'm been a busy bee. And so y'all know I just got back from South Africa and it was simply spectacular. So much spectacular that I don't even feel like I could do it justice by covering myself. And unfortunately, all the good players are in South Africa. So I just had to settle for what I could get. So I just happened to find a little piece of trash blowing around the wind in the neighborhood. That trash just happened to be the winner of Ghost Island, the second time guestee on the Purple Pants Podcast. What's poppin', Wendeezy?
What it is, Bryce Isaiah, baby.
Don't do me. You would think that I'd be sick of Wendell, in which actuality I am. But, you know, he just happened to come over my house. I said, let's recap South Africa.
I think that's a great idea.
So how did you enjoy the trip? Give us a rundown. Like, what is your perspective on the trip?
It was a phenomenal trip. It was a life-changing trip. We did amazing things. We saw amazing things, and it was all for a good cause. We were able to help the kids. Ooh. We were able to meet them. Put and smiles on their faces.
By far, though, I was the kids' favorite. Though. The kids was like, "Uncle Bryce!" We was playing... What was the name of the game we was playing? Barbie girl, something like that. But you know, the kids was all over me. I didn't really see the kids liking you too much.
They enjoyed me, Bryce. Thank you very much.
The kids enjoy everybody though. It was super dope.
Yes.
So South Africa was a whole vibe. How was the plane ride?
The plane ride there. Let's see. Well, we had aisle seats. So I think that flight attendants, I think they aim at you when they're walking down the aisle. They try to like really knock you really well.
No, that is true. Because I was asleep a couple of times and that cart came.
Boom.
I say, bitch.
And you look up and then they look at you like you did something wrong.
But on the international flight, they do give you wine.
Yeah, we were getting wine.
Yeah, I was getting a little litty. So 15-hour flight. So we flew from Philadelphia to Atlanta, and that was me, Wendell, and Ramona. And then from when we got to Atlanta, we met up with Desi, we met up with
Tina, Jimmy T, and a lot of the fans.
And Bob Crowley and Peggy Crowley, and a lot of the fans that came. And that's where we first met Nick, a.k.a. Jack, a.k.a. John Jr., who's a super fan of Survivor and came on the challenge to participate and come on the trip. And if anybody watched my Instagram stories, then you know I am completely obsessed with Nick, who's actually Jack, who's really John Jr. So you got to keep up.
He's a good kid. He's a great Survivor player, actually. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. So let's just get into the nitty gritty real quick with it. I know you probably don't want to tell the story, but so, you know, the airplane food, you know, 15-hour flight, they feed you a little din-din, you know, then a couple hours later, they give you a snack. Uh-huh. Then a couple hours later, they give you a little breakfast. Uh-huh. And, you know, when I generally fly, I like to shut my body down. I don't really like to eat or drink because I'm one of those people that does not like to go to the bathroom. So on this flight, baby boy, I was eating, I was drinking, and I was sleeping, but I didn't want to go to the bathroom.
Why not?
Because I just, you know, if I had to go pee, I would have went. But so I, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I feel you guys. I feel you.
So
I feel like I was the same way.
So let me just tell y'all this story before we get into the meat and the potatoes of this podcast. So we get off the 15-hour flight and we got to go through customs and my stomach is doing a little rumble tumble. And
I looked at you. I'm like, Bryce, I think I got to go to the bathroom. You gave me the like, me too look.
So we like, okay. So as soon as we go get out of customs, everybody's going to get their bag. I'm like, window, there's a bathroom. So mind you, any airport that I go to is always like a line. It's always a lot of people there. So I see the bathroom. I'm like, window, there's a bathroom. And whoop, I take off to the bathroom. Whoop, 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 whoop.
Me too.
He's like right behind me. So I turn to the bathroom. There's nobody in the bathroom. There's two stalls. Okay.
Only two stalls next to each other.
And they are pretty close. And so mind you, you know me. I'm a lady. I don't like people to hear me go poodum poom, if you know what I'm saying. So here we are in this South African airport bathroom, literally like 2 feet next to each other in different stalls. And I'm like, okay, I don't want to have to be the one to let it go. So I'm like trying to like, maybe I can like pretend like I'm going to the bathroom and then Wonder will go and I could go. Cause like, you know, I'm like, I don't want to like, but baby.
So I will continue before you even start lying. So I, you know, I get myself a little comfortable. I take the throne, if you will. And I hear in the stall next to me the loudest sounding bomb I've ever heard in my life. And I hear somebody giggling and laughing next to me. I'm like, this fool.
I'm sorry, y'all. I was like, I can't hold it no more. Hey, listen. I was like so embarrassed.
The stall was reverberating. I was like, all right, well, if Bryce, if he wants to open this can of worms, we can do this.
So 2 seconds later, I hear, and I am dying. So for the next 10 minutes, we is playing battleship.
We're going back and forth, and every time somebody drops a load, and we're laughing at each other, it's just like, boom.
So I'm like so mortified. So I'm like, okay, let me get up out this bathroom. So I'm trying to, you know, boom, 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 boom. And like I said, we ran into the bathroom. It was nobody in there. So I like trying to run out the bathroom. Y'all, it is a line of like 8 people. I like run out and I'm like, I'm like, oh, God, that guy in the first toss really letting him go.
He beat me out of the toilet. He did. But when I walked out of the toilet, I saw a familiar face.
Oh, my God.
Our boy Jack, a.k.a. Nick, was at the front of the line. And he was just giggling. We didn't even know him like that. We just met him. And he was laughing. He was like, y'all are some fools or something.
Oh, embarrassing, y'all. But listen, when you travel 15 hours and then you had some airplane food and some, and not box wine, but some wine.
Woo, be careful.
Chile. So, I just, you know, here, don't judge me. Here at the Purple Pants Podcast, this is a judgment-free zone.
You a nasty guy.
So, the trip was absolutely amazing. South Africa was so beautiful. We got to travel to Johannesburg. We got to go into the different, territories is what they call it. Was amazing. We flew to Cape Town. We really got to go on safaris. We got to go to I can't even speak because I'm like picturing these glorious. We got to go to the Apartheid Museum. We got to go to Mandela's house. We didn't get to go in because we was a little late. But you know, in true Bryce Isaiah form, we took a selfie outside of Mandela's house just to let him know, hey, boo, I came to see you. And so that was just an interesting experience as well, because where the Mandela House Museum is, it is not necessarily like our driver that we had was basically saying, like, I wouldn't drop you guys off here at night. And that just also just makes you aware that, like, you know, we are still in Africa and there are things, you know, we are American. But I have to say, like, when we got out the car, 8 or 9 people literally like hoarded us and started singing. You remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, they were like panhandling and singing to us, trying to get us to give them some money. And you could look in, especially one of the guy's eyes, and it looked like he was on something. And the driver even said that. He said, look in that guy's eyes. I don't know what he's on, but you might want to be careful with how you interact with him. But that was in Soweto.
Soweto, right. And that was in like the city.
Yeah, they started building up that one street and it has a bunch of restaurants and stores. It's getting touristy there. And I guess you have a lot of people begging there as well.
For sure. And also, what was interesting to me that I found so interesting about South Africa was that the disparity. And what I mean by, and maybe tell me if I'm using this word right. What I mean by disparity is that, like, we would, where the accommodations that we had were in, I would say, anywhere, like, we would have to go through the city. And the cities are pretty developed by far. But what took me for shock was, like, the 10 cities that would be adjacent to the major cities.
Like the townships.
The townships yeah. that, like, were literally made out of, like, 10. And it's a whole community of them. Roads, you know, families living in there. And that to me was like the most eye-opening experience for me. Just like when we would be traveling from one place to one place, we would be on a bus and a lot of people would like shut their windows and go to sleep. Me, I would open my window and I just wanted to like see as much that I could, just because it just not only makes me grateful for the life that I am blessed to live, it just also makes me extremely humble and makes me appreciate using my platform to give back to the Nailady Christian Academy. It just was just so interesting. And just that, you know, how in these 10 communities, there would be some like brick houses, and then there'll be some like regular houses, and then it would be some tin houses. And the way that the driver had it described to us was that the people in the 10 towns next to the city, they still have to pay rent. But he said, by them paying rent, it guarantees the government that at some point in time, they don't know when, but that they will at least be able to build them a house. So it's like the brick houses that you see were provided by the government. But, you know, again, me as a social worker and how I perceive things, I just my heart, and it's just these children and these families, and they're just trying to make it and trying to survive. And when you interact with the children, how happy and how hungry and how loving they are, just really, I don't know, just kind of, touch. I don't want to get too emotional, but this trip was an emotional roller coaster for all of us. Another thing about South Africa that a lot of the South African survivors explained to us was that their cell phone service was horrible. Like, you know, and listen, y'all know me, I worked 3 jobs. I had to turn my cell phone off. My phone was on airplane mode the whole time because I can't afford no international charges from South Africa. Who gonna pay my cell phone bill? Okay, I be texting window. Hell, so, but their cell phone service really, really sucks. And so I don't know about you, but while I was gone, I got so many voicemails from people. It was crazy. So I just figure on this episode, we just go through the voicemails and have a conversation with, you know, who knows who's calling and leaving me messages on the voicemail. Who calling this phone? Let me answer this and see who this is.
It's Shona here from South African Survivor Season 5, Survivor Champions.
Hey, Shona!
Hey, Shona, what's up, girl?
Baby girl.
The lovely Miss Shona, what's up, baby girl? I would love to know what is your most memorable moment from our trip.
Ooh, baby boy. You want to know what the most memorable part of the trip was? Well, I want to say the blow darts when you went poof, poof, poof. every single time you saw somebody say that something that you didn't like or you wanted to vote them out or whatever, that became a really funny joke that I'm going to take with me for life. But I think the funniest part for me was when myself, Ramona, and Amanda sent three people home with idols in their pockets and tears in our eyes.
Oh, baby girl, you was playing that game, I have to admit. So I know when you sent them people home with the, what you say, an idol in their pockets and a tear in their eye. With the blow dart, yes! Well, ooh, thank you, Boo, so much for calling in. It's an honor to have you here on the Purple Pants Podcast.
Bryce, thank you so much for having me on the Purple Pants Podcast. It's really been a dream. It's been amazing. I hope that you practice your South African lingo. Anyways, cheers. Thank you so much for the epic time. Keep well and bye a donkey.
Oh, that's my boo, Shauna. Oh, it's so good to hear from you.
Love her so much.
She's amazing. It's so weird because I was with her for so long out in the bush, sleeping outside. And, you know, now I'm back in Philadelphia and I miss my boo so much. Oh, I can't wait till I can see you again. My phone is just blowing up. Oh, y'all wouldn't believe who this is. This is Bob Crowley, the winner. Side note, a real winner. Okay, a real winner. Calling me. Oh my God. Wait. Bob, so would you say the best part of this trip was meeting all of the other amazing Survivor players and the volunteers and Survivor fans that played the game with us?
Without a question, it was meeting so many nice new people, starting from the kids and the children at the students at the school, meeting you again, Bryce. But just think of how lucky we are that we have such a great group of people and we all got along. It was so great meeting you, spending more time with you, but also meeting all the other survivors and all the other volunteers. I feel really honored.
Well, Bob, I must say it was an honor to see you again. And as much as I know you love me and I love you, I love me some Peggy Crowley. So, Peggy, what do you think was the best part?
It's the people that we get to meet. And look at this opportunity that we had. In our radar of things to do in life, we never thought about going to South Africa and helping to raise money for a school for Naledi, the academy. And, you know, and just going with such a nice group of people. I think Bill organizing this really got the cream of the crop of people who have been on Survivor, who have worked on challenges here. And I just thought it was such a great group of people.
Bob, sir, my fellow winner, please tell me what it's like to meet a fool like Bryce Isaiah for the first time. And I encourage you to think outside the box.
Yes, Bob. Please tell me what it's like meeting a queen like me.
Well, I was trying to equate it to the electric slide dance, which I can't do.
To the left.
Connect that with dropping a toaster in the bathtub.
Bobby.
And that's sort of what it is, meeting you.
Bob.
Totally out of control.
Ooh.
Wonderful. Love the colors and the tunes. I just don't know how. I mean, you know who you are. You're crazy as a hoot owl. And I love you for every bit.
Love
of
you
it.
Too.
So we appreciated getting to see more.
Where Peggy at? Because you know what?
And I'll just add to that, Bryce, it was, you know, it was great for us to get a chance to spend more time with you. Never got tired of you. You were so much fun to be with. And I loved watching you compete in the challenge. You were your mind was right in
come
the game.
Come on.
I love what you would say at tribal councils. We loved you at tribal councils, and I'm glad you went so far in the game because
okay.
we got to see
let
how
them
you
know
the challenges and
let them know,
what a
Peggy.
Team player you are. And
always
yeah, tribal councils.
Hey,
all.
Hey, Bob.
It was you added so much to it.
Oh,
it
yeah.
made it
yeah.
entertaining to be
yeah.
there.
Yeah, aww. We love the way you were in the game, and and I'm also, you know, it was suggested a couple times when we were on the trip that you guys want to come to Maine and visit
yes.
us. And of course, you know, we would love to have you and your and your gang come, and we'll save a yurt for you. And I know that,
what's that?
It will be great having you guys here. So I hope that really does work out.
I hope so, too. I definitely, while we were there, Desi, Wendell, Ramona, and I, even Victoria, we all said that we wanted to come to Maine to visit. And mind you, Peggy, I don't know if you remember this, but while we were at one of the meet and greets, we was like, well, if we're hanging out in Maine, we gonna say we did our ancestry and we cousins. So believe it or not, I'm really Bryce Isaiah Crowley.
You can have that, Bryce.
Thank you so much, Peg and Bob. It was such a pleasure to meet you guys. And thank you so much for wanting to be on the Purple Pants podcast.
Yeah, Peggy and Bob, thank you so much for a great 2 weeks in South Africa. You guys brought so much to the table. Thank you so much for your help with production, Bob and Peggy. Bob, you are the fireman. Peggy, you're just always a loving, amazing lady. And oh, wait a minute. My phone's ringing from a private number. Who is this?
I'm Desi, season 35 of Survivor, first member of the jury.
You better run them fast, first member of the jury. I see you, baby girl. The amazing, the talented, the beautiful, the stunning one and only Desi Williams. It was great to catch up with you. But I have a quick question. I'm just wondering, for you, what was the funniest moment you had in or outside of the game in South Africa?
Okay. Funniest moments in South Africa. Also hard to choose because I spent so much time just laughing. Like, Africa is the whole vibe, and I forgot about all my responsibilities at home, because they are many, and just enjoyed myself. But I have to say, something that sticks out in my mind is our favorite little toddler, or maybe he's not a toddler, who knows, to be determined, Timmy. So for those of y'all who have not heard the story of Timmy, we had a meet and greet one night in Johannesburg. Started out really chill, like just us, a few fans. And one thing led to another, and your girl got drunk, and apparently I was not the only one. So we get back to where we're staying, which can only be described as like luxury huts, maybe within the wild safari. Like, literally woke up the next morning and there were zebras outside of my window. So I don't know how to describe it, but I would say we were staying in luxury huts. So we get home from this meet and greet. We all go to Bryce and Wendell's room. We're hanging out, talking. And out of nowhere, we hear this voice of demon child, Timmy. Now, I honestly had no idea where it was coming from at first, but it was Bryce. It was Bryce Isaiah's new alter ego that he had created on the spot in that moment after a few too many cocktails. And Timmy was our comic relief from then on for the remainder of the trip. So anytime Wendell would do something annoying or any of us would say something ridiculous, Demon Child Timmy would come back out. So if y'all haven't been introduced to Demon Child Timmy yet, well, I'm gonna tell you right now, Bryce Isaiah is holding out on you, or maybe you just haven't gotten him tipsy enough. But Demon Child Timmy was a good addition to the trip. And I hope that he travels with us everywhere we go from here on out.
Well, thank you, Desi. I wasn't ready to tell the world about me. But since we're talking, hi, guys. My name's Timmy Holland. And Wendell Holland is my dad.
Oh, God.
I don't know who my mom is because my dad is a thought. My dad wears a book bag. He always has books in his book bag. He carries sunscreen and makes sure we're always in on time.
I can't stand you.
I love you too, Dad. My name's Timmy. Well, okay. Well, nice to meet you, Timmy, but you just kind of walked up in my house. I ain't never meet you before. I don't know who you are either. My dad says you talk like a girl. Oh, wait a minute. Wendell, you tell your son I talk like a girl?
Yes, I do.
He says you're his sis, but you're a boy. You know what, Timmy? put that ass in timeout. I'll go in timeout anyway. I'm going to be here. Why are you over here laughing?
I don't know where I am.
Hi, Desi. It's good to see you again, friend. Timmy, put that ass in the corner. Now, you know Bryce love the kids, but I don't tolerate no disrespectful kids that I've never seen before in my life that climbed through a window and got here in the Purple Pants podcast. So, Wendy, you got to explain to the dude, whose child is that? Because I don't understand. Oh. Ooh, you lucky. Just so you know, that is Bryce Isaiah. Get the Party Started. Available on iTunes, Amazon, Google, Yahoo, and Uncle Pookie's truck. But oh, wait a minute. Who calling my phone real quick? Who this on the hotline?
Hey, it's Tony here from Survivor South Africa Season 6.
Hey, baby girl. What's poppin', Tony?
What's up, Tony? How you doing, girl?
So real quick, Tony, since I got you on the line, I know the game for me was an emotional roller coaster, up, down, high and low. What was the game itself like for you?
The game itself was intense. It was like playing a full on Survivor within 4 days. I didn't make merch, so I was pretty annoyed about that because all of us, well, most of us castaways are extremely competitive. And one thing I found out about myself after this trip, it was quite a humbling experience because I realized that sometimes my competitiveness gets in the way of me having fun. And I'm glad I had that lesson because it made me step outside of myself and say, whoa, Tony, don't stand in your own way of having fun. So it was a learning experience for me in that way. That it's amazing that just playing something for 4 or 5 days can actually teach you something about yourself.
Tony, I completely agree with you. The game had me in a whirlwind and I just forgot how easily I can be taken back to such an aggressive, such a place. For example, I wholeheartedly agree with you, Tony, that even in 4 days, you can learn so much about yourself. We've had conversations, you know, that I'm similar to you in that way that like, I am very competitive when it comes to friendship, when it comes to Survivor games, when it comes to anything. And so I even had an experience once we had swapped tribes for like the fourth time. I ended back up on the tribe with Wendeezy. And Wendeezy was in an alliance with this girl named Rue, this guy named Eric, and Samantha. And I was in an alliance with my role dog, Nick, Jack, and John Jr., all one person. Oh, okay. I wish it would have been 4 votes. And I was in an alliance with Nick and Ace. And, you know,
you were in alliance with Ace?
Yes.
Or you guys became close?
So, no, at that time of the SWAT, when you were with us, Ace and I, we were working together. It was me, Nick, and Ace.
We all got together that one night.
Okay, but game is 4 days.
You were supposed to get with me.
Okay, Wendell, so
I'm listening.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, because now y'all. So I'm gonna be honest, y'all. I lost my cool in the game, yes. Maybe one time.
Oh, right.
So me and Wendell got into a fight. So me and Wendell got into a real fight during the game because he was pissing me off. And so for the integrity of the game, Wendell and I never had a pregame alliance. We never talked about working together. Like, we literally were so excited to go to Survivor. So, okay, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's fine. We never talk about nothing, but bitch, we is together. So when we made the switch and I'm like, ayo. And so mind you, when we made the switch, Jimmy T was on. Jimmy T was there.
We had some disposables.
So, but Jimmy T, myself, and Wendell were the only survivors. And so I came to Wendell and I was like, listen, we can get like one of your, because ultimately, once I saw Wendell and the people that he came with, I knew that they would be trouble, period. Like, I wanted them gone immediately. And I was even saying to Wendell, like, listen, Wendell, hey, Ace Pooh, we could get rid of Ace if we could get rid of Rue or Eric. And this is what took me over the edge. Well, first of all, let you know, it's a story in a story. I did not want Wendell and I to communicate. So I
kept on saying, communicate with me through Nick.
Through Nick, okay? Hey, baby boy. Like, Wendell will come over and be like,
talk to you.
Hey, Bryce, let's go get some firewood. I'm like, go get firewood with Nick, and Nick will report back to me everything. Because I didn't want them to think that we were working together. I just didn't want, anyway, so that was that. But so at finally, one morning, Wendell and I took a walk, and I'm like, we'll get rid of Ace if you get rid of Rue or Eric. And bitch, this motherfucker was like, oh, excuse me, y'all. I can't get rid of them. They're good people. Excuse the hell out of me. Because
go on. I'm listening. How did you become such good friends with Ace all of
them? How do you know Rue and Eric?
Because we're on a squad.
Okay.
Magnificent Seven.
Hey, guys, can you keep it down? I'm in the corner. Timmy, shut the hell up. I'm talking to your dad. So, it was pissing me off that, like, Wendell would not waver from this. And I'm like, excuse me?
Like, I said to you, I was like, because you were like, your people are gunning for me. Your girls gunning for me.
They were.
I'm like, no, they're not.
They are.
As long as I was
no, there, they weren't. No, listen. Baby, boy, I was the queen bee of South Africa to Bush. So any and everybody that's playing a game is coming for me. And so what pissed me off, like Tony was saying, was for a couple of milliseconds, I was confusing the game in real life. I really was. I was giving Wendell ultimatums. Like, you know what? We won't be friends. And like,
cool, finally, that's what I've been working for.
So then I was like, then go. So Wendell like was walking away. And I'm like, you really gonna walk away?
You gonna leave me?
So I completely get what you're talking about, Tony, because it's like, I wear my heart on my sleeve. You know, I just like it. So I can completely understand where you're coming from and how the game, but that just shows you the authenticity. Even I can say that, stupid. Wendell, get Timmy, because if you say something else, I'm a pop him.
Timmy, sit your ass in the corner.
Okay, Dad.
Thank you.
But I can respect the authenticity of the game. And so like
authenticity,
what he just said of the game, and like it really, in 4 days it took me there. So
let me speak to the authenticity.
Here he go.
I will say that when you play these Survivor games, sometimes you really get into it, and it was awesome to be over there playing with real professionals, playing with survivors from South Africa. Then you have 8 Americans, you have 8 South African survivors, then you have 8 fans who have always wanted to play the game. So it definitely was intense, and we definitely got right into it.
So he just made me remember something else.
You're welcome.
Like he said, for the fans that ultimately always wanted to play a game. And this was my ploy to Wendell, that ultimately I'm a fan too. I always wanted to play a game. I feel like although I am, you know, an official Survivor player, I was robbed of my season. I was robbed of playing the chance.
You should have actually been the winner of Kanye. Oh. I think you should
have. See, try and make up because we was really in a fight. But shout out to LJ Leon, who actually was just in Philly this week and kicked it and watched Survivor with us. But that was my ploy to Wendell. Was like, I'm a fan too, and I got robbed of my season, and like, you want to give it to these fans, and you so listen, very irrational. But like, that's really where I was at. So what else can we talk to Tony about?
So Tony, I know I wanted to play the game with you, and sadly we didn't really get to play the game together. That's like kind of upset me. So I was wondering, is there anything that upset you about the game or about being out there?
One of the things I was a little bit sad about is that I didn't really get to play with Wendell and Brass. We weren't in the same tribe, so I was a little bit disappointed in that because I really, really wanted to get an opportunity to play with both of them for very different reasons. One being Wendell is just so level-headed that I think I could actually learn a lot from him. And two being that Brass is like, well, he's just entertaining and he's amazing and he's smart as hell.
Smart as hell, baby girl. I couldn't agree with you anymore. Okay. Hater. I don't agree with you either, Dad. I'm Timmy. But
please,
You and your son. But real quick, Tony, since I got you, I'm always curious, what was it like meeting you? I know I was fangirling out meeting all of these South African players, but like, what was it like meeting the Bryce Isaiah?
I loved Bryce on his season, and I for years and years kept saying, please bring Bryce back to Survivor, because his game was obviously too short-lived, so we didn't get to really experience the full on Bryce. And now meeting him, I realized that there's so much more to Bryce. He's got so many layers. He is so intelligent, he is so funny, but he is actually so humble, and he spoke to my heart, so let's put it that way. Him and I had some really, really interesting conversations, well, some deep conversations where he really spoke to my heart. And I knew he would. It was like, it's the weirdest thing. When I saw Bryce on TV and when I spoke to him on Twitter and saw him on Twitter and everywhere else, I was like, this guy, if we lived in the same area, we would be BFFs. So I'm really, really glad that I got to meet him. I mean, I remember when he came out the airport and he went, Tony, when he saw me. And I was like fangirling, because I was like, this guy just got on the airplane, off an airplane, and said my name. Which is silly, because now in retrospect, looking back, you know, I had him on that pedestal day one, and now I honestly see him as a friend. He needs another chance to be on TV. This guy needs his own TV show. So Bryce, baby boy, absolutely adore you. Keep rocking. So glad I got to meet you. And to everyone else out there that played this game and contributed to this amazing cause, thank you from the bottom of my heart for this experience. And I can't wait to see all of you next year. Bye, boo-boo. Mwah.
Oh, bye, boo-boo.
Okay, Tony. Enough about Bryce. I'm done with this pool. I'm actually trying to get out of here as soon as I can. I don't want to be here in this studio. My phone is ringing again. Oh, I'm blowing up today. Who is it? Is it my boy Nichelle?
Hi, this is Nichelle from Season 2, Survivor South Africa, Malaysia.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Is this my brother, Nichelle? What's poppin'?
What's up, my boy, Nichelle? It's good to hear from you, bro. It was good getting to meet you. I know you're a solid dude.
Absolutely.
You gave me your hat. I appreciate you. You were trying to give me everything.
Listen, I appreciate that. That water we was drinking, Nichelle.
solid dude, man. Do you have any funny memories? What was your funniest memory from the trip?
Funny story of the trip. B, when Bryce was in the challenge and Wendell was cheering him on and saying, legs of a runner, legs of a runner. And then I asked Wendell, what is that? And he says, no, Bryce is a runner. And when I looked at it, Bryce looked like a springbok running, you know, with the high legs and breathing coordination. So, hence, it was legs of a runner that day. And they did win the challenge.
Let them know, because I won multiple challenges out there, Nichelle. But real quick, Nichelle, you said a springbok. You know, I was told by several South African men that I was more of a gazelle. Okay, because I couldn't keep them South African men off me. Like I threw up at the airport bathroom next to you. You guys are disgusting, okay? I'm a child. I don't care about you guys. Forget. Find dad my ass. You're going to get out of my house. You keep interrupting the Purple Pants podcast.
Let's keep this going. Nichelle, quick question, my friend. I've seen a lot of photos about this this Black Mamba situation between you and Bryce and the rest of the people out there. Can you please break it down for the people and let us know what this whole Black Mamba situation is?
The Black Mamba, or as Bryce would say, the Black Mamba. So at our orientation, a snake expert educated us on the different types of snakes present in the bush. And Bryce was like, oh my God, are those snakes really in the bush? So the games began, and a few days later, Bryce and I were on the same team. And one night around the campfire, we were talking, and I told him about the Black Mamba, which is black on the inside of its mouth and one of the fastest snakes in the world. And I also told him is another type of Black Mamba, which Bryce understood as Kobe. But we would leave that for another story.
So let's just be clear, okay? The type of Black Mamba I was looking for wasn't no reptile in South Africa. You feel me? Okay. So, oh, the Black Mamba. But, oh, it's so good to hear from you, Nashaw. I can't wait until you come. You said you was coming to Philly. You said you was coming to the U.S.
Hold and
you already know. You, Bryson Wynn presents. I think you got a wristlet, a bracelet, because we brought him out there. But talking about the Black Mamba really reminds me of, like, again, when the tribe swippy swappies happened and Wendell and I was on the same tribe.
Sadly.
Please. Okay. But we don't even want to run facts here at the Purple Pants Podcast because we haven't really talked about how we did in the game. You know, I don't know. But anyway, we won't get into that because, you know, I don't, you will want to make nobody feel bad.
I don't feel bad. I know exactly how I did in the game.
Okay. But speaking of that, when we were on the tribe swap, would you not agree that tribal councils got a little heated?
They did.
I mean, and first of all, don't be looking at me like that because I didn't get heated at tribal council. Once. I didn't get heated at tribal council once.
If I'm not mistaken, I witnessed you blow darts at numerous people got hit with darts. Come on, but we can just have convenient amnesia.
Okay. So, like I said, I did not get upset at one tribal. There are multiple tribals.
Exactly.
But listen, but baby, it wasn't me, just me. Do you remember that tribal council when I got coined? It was some shade thrown my way by another survivor.
Who did that?
Your friend Jimmy T.
Ooh, I know exactly what he said. I don't know if that was shade or if that was truth telling.
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe he told Jimmy T told the truth.
I don't know. Maybe we should see if we get somebody on the line. All of these people calling us. Let me see if I can call somebody. Come on, Nick. Pick up. Jack, pick up.
What's up? It's Jack Atkins, Bryce's new best friend, aka Survivor Superfan. So we were at Tribal, and Jimmy T was the target. So this homie's going off his rocker a little bit because he wants Wendell out because Wendell wants Survivor, and apparently that's pretty scary. So Jimmy points to all the rest of us. It's a lot of us fans and Bryce. He's like, obviously, all these super fans over here want to work with Wendell. He and I are some of the best players of all time. So it's like a battle of the Goliaths. And then I turned to Bryce. I was like, he just called you a super fan. So Bryce is like, excuse me? And Jimmy's like, I'm sorry. You got a bunch of super fans and Wendell's friend. And I was like, ooh.
Okay. So little do you guys know that on the Battle of the Bush in South Africa, I have been renamed. I am no longer known as Bryce Isaiah, but I am now known as
Wendell's friend.
Hashtag Wendell's friend. Okay.
Wendell's little friend.
I mean, yeah, Jimmy T was going a little hard at me throwing shade, but
a lot.
Jimmy T is a great guy. He is an amazing rower. He rows a dory, and I can't wait to hopefully get up to, I believe it's like Massachusetts, so I could row with Jimmy T. But Jimmy T was a great competitor. He had a huge personality. It's just so much fun to be around other people that actually have big and interesting personalities because sometimes it gets a little lonely. Feel me?
Jimmy T he was trying to get me out of there. From jump. I'm like, I had to ask him, like, what's up, man? What's the problem?
And truth be told, I should have worked with him. And I should have worked with him and got you out. And with you, Rue, and Eric. Okay? But no.
With Jimmy T.
Yes.
You would have been out next.
No, I wouldn't have been. I would have had the numbers. But no. You wanted to work with Miss Rue. You wanted to work with Eric. But no. But was I loyal? But was I loyal? But was I loyal?
There's footage.
But was I loyal?
There's footage of you? No. As a matter of fact, I should be asking you that question.
Wendell.
Are you the bottle of the kettle?
Wendell. I am, first of all, bitch.
But was I loyal?
I'm the teacup. Bitch, no, you weren't.
I wasn't loyal.
No.
First and foremost,
Ten.
We'll do it together.
Nine. Seven.
Three, two, one.
No.
Here's what happened.
What?
I told you my alliance wasn't going for
okay,
me.
So here's the thing, though, Wendell. So I understand you want to go die. You want to go. Hey, my dad want to go die. Get right.
Thank you, Timmy.
I don't have time for this demon child. You may have won Ghost Island. He did. But you also have to look at it as a survivor player in this game. You just telling me to be okay. Like, and that don't work for me. Like, this is like Tony said, this was my like redemption. Like, I really came out here and I didn't want no help.
You came to play.
I came to play. And whether or not people knew what my strategy was, but baby boy was out there taking my junkers out. And the opportunity came to me multiple times from even people in your alliance, Mr. Wendell. But you also got to understand.
The opportunity never came to me. You know we had the numbers.
Okay, but first of all, we about to have to pause this podcast because I'm about to start cussing up a storm because now I'm getting pissed off because this is what I'm talking about. Like, the issue was okay, fine. I will 100% admit that when you told me, Bryce, chill, they not gunning for you, be good. I should have just been like, okay, but
Word is my word.
It is, but here's the thing though, and like, this is something I probably never told you before, but no, bitch, I'm being serious. See this? And again, the game gets you emotional. And it really, I have to be honest, took me back to Kalyan. And it was just like, do I, LJ, go with what they're saying and at the end of the day be fine? And I literally was like, I didn't come to South Africa and I didn't come to be blindsided or to go home. So I'm glad that you think that's funny.
Bryce.
So listen. When you were saying that to me, I'm like, okay. But in the back of my mind, it's just like, Kogiyad, episode 2, Bryce voted. Like, I'm like, we ain't doing this in South Africa because we're here for the kids. And I don't want to get voted out and turn tribal out. Because I'm telling y'all now, that's what would have happened. And I'm like, ooh, and I'm just thinking about my mom. And my mom would be so embarrassed if I would have been throwing chairs, storming off, demanding to go to the airport. Like, so I just feel like in that moment, you were being like, I need to Ghost Island. I don't care. Just say, but I like, to me, I'm like, I can't just trust what one person says. And so I had to create options for myself.
So you think it's a proper analogy to compare Wendell, who knows Bryce today, to LJ from Kagaian?
So no, what I am comparing you to is that Bryce that met LJ that day and that mindset. Like, I'm just like, again, you had a very positive experience playing Survivor. So I need for you to take off your Ghost Island, whatever it's called. It's Ghost Island season, whatever he was.
36.
I watched you with my mom and my dad. Who your mom, Aunt Timmy?
Don't worry about it.
What he said.
I don't have time.
Thank you, Timmy, for representing for your father. Now, Bryce, as I was saying.
No, what I was saying was take off your Wendell Ghost Island winter hat and put on.
Go on.
Put on these purple pants. And
I have a story to tell.
Okay.
If we're talking about comparing clothes, should we talk about that now or should we wait? Should we finish this conversation or should we wait? Should we finish this conversation?
Well,
or should we wait?
This is the Purple Pants podcast, and there's always stories inside of stories. So I don't know where you're going with this.
You know what? We're going to shut down that last story. We don't need to continue. Everyone knows, but everyone needs to know this.
Oh, God.
We pull up to South Africa on day one. All the fellas are, it's pregame mode. All the fellas are in our room. It's like a bunch of bunk beds. We're all in there. And in front of everybody, Bryce decides to announce.
No, that was not. This was not in front of everybody.
Bryce decides to announce.
No, so if you want to tell the story right. So we were like literally, think of going to summer camp. And it's like a bungalow with like 13
bunks.
And you have all of these people in the bunk. And mind you, this was like the first day. I was pretty intimidated, I have to say.
So he decides it's a perfect time to announce.
No. So we had Steven. We had Jimmy. We had Hilgard. We had Eric. We had, who else?
Big Tom. Michelle.
We had Jack. We had all of these guys. Tejon.
We had everybody. So, all the fellas were in there.
And Bryce.
If I, as the sole U.S. survivor, if I didn't have a big enough target on my back, Bryce decides to announce in front of everybody.
I don't know where you
Hey, wait. By the way.
No.
By the way, I'm wearing your drawers as my game. Your drawers are my drawers in this game.
Yeah.
Excuse me? Please, we're going to have someone unpack you. And I'm not talking about my luggage. Tell me, Bryce, why do you have my draws? Please explain it to me. As your game, not as your game draws. Break it down.
No. So wait. That's disgusting. You're in my dad's underwear, weirdo. No. So wait, y'all.
No.
As weird as this story sounds, I have an explanation. But first of all, I just did not just pull up in no room and was like, hey, Wendell, I got your underwear.
About exactly what happened. Imagine the faces. Big Tom looking at me like I'm crazy.
That's when Big Tom jumped into bed with me. But no. So I just have to address, false allegations when I see them. So it was not just me rolling into the bungalow. So we, all of the guys and majority of the girls that night were hanging out. And it was late at night. Some people had already went to sleep. So when a group of the guys came back to the bungalow, it was dark. So Wendell and I, we were on the opposite ends of the bungalow, and I was sleeping next to Jack, who Jack was on the top bunk and Tom was on the bottom bunk, and I think Steve Pickens was on my bottom bunk. So we only turned on one light because it was like four people already sleeping, so our like bags were close together. So in the back of my mind, I did was like, oh shoot, I forgot to tell Wendell I brought his underwear. But so I tell you that story. So then I felt like when I was unpacking, I felt like Wendell was like looking at my bag like, is that my underwear? No. So I felt like I had to tell him because I was like, it would be weird if like the whole game he was thinking I had his underwear. So, but the truth of the matter is, yes, I did have his underwear. But the story is, I'm a Pisces, y'all, and I am a water child. And so where I live in the castle, my castle is amazing. We happen to be in the Purple Pants Podcast Studio. Is the Purple Pants Podcast Studio not popping?
It's popping.
Right. But when my landlord redid my bathroom, I had a claw tub. And for, I guess, the essence of space in my bathroom, they went with a non-claw tub. So my tub is really, really small. Now, where Wendell lives, you know, when you win Ghost Islands and, you know, you got all this money, he lives in a high rise in the up and coming area. But Wendell has an amazing bathtub. I mean, you can soak and dope and you can practically swim there. So whenever Wendell is out of town or whatever, I know if Wendell's going to be out of, like, you know, his apartment for a little bit, I will text him and say, hey, do you mind if I use the bathtub? Because listen, and I'll be honest, probably the last like 13 Instagram posts of me in the bathtub is in Wendell's bathroom. But so needless to say, I'll be in the bathtub for about 2 to 3 hours. So I always, my mom always taught me, hey, Barb, leave somebody's house the way you found it. So I always will like wash the towels, dry them. So the last time I took a bath, which was a couple of days before South Africa, I took a bath, washed the towels, and I'd like threw my shirt because my shirt got wet from the water, threw my shirt in the dryer. And then when I left, I just pull everything out, put in my bag and left. And so then when I'm packing for South Africa, I'm like unpacking my little gym bag and I'm like, oh, these ain't my underwear. But they was like the long kind of underwear. And I was like, well, wait a minute. This might be great for the game. Y'all know I got $1 million to spend. So I was like, okay, listen, boom. And so I forgot to shoot him a text to tell him. But the next time I seen him was like, and I seen the underwear.
I want to ask him, hey, when I got your drawers, may I borrow your, first of all, you can have them, but may I borrow your drawers?
No,
we start there. I forgot to shoot him a text to tell him, by the way, these are my game drawers now.
Mind you, there was my game draws. And then throughout the trip, I just got so used to like not changing underwear.
He wore them all week.
Not all week. I am not a dirty birdie like that. But so that's that story. But listen, it's really not that weird when you break it down. And I don't appreciate what to try to throw me under the bus because he just was really trying to avoid me from having a meltdown like I would have. But I don't got time because
it's you called me out. Saying you had my drawers in front of everybody. I didn't know what you were talking about until I saw my drawers in your hands.
So, mind you, I don't remember, and honestly, I don't remember everybody being around. I just remember you being right there, and I was like, oh, yeah, Wendell, like, hey, these your underwear. I took them from your house.
Let's move on, Bryce.
But listen, the real all-star of this game, Survivor Africa, the bush, has to go to, we can't end this podcast, we can't even get close to the end without mentioning my sis, my boo, the original OG of Survivor, Miss Ramona. Come through.
Yes, yes.
Now, I told y'all these services in South Africa is real, real messed up. And I think Miss Ramona tried to call me, but when I answered the phone, it... You know, she got her son who was doing all of this stuff. I'm not sure what happened, but let me just tell you something.
We can blame it on the service in South Africa or Bryce's cricket wireless phone, but...
is boost.
I digress.
One thing's for certain, two things for sure. I absolutely saw the first season of Survivor. And what I remember seeing Survivor, because y'all know I was the young 10 to age of 3.
Oh, may I briefly for 1 second chime in on that?
You know, it's the Purple Pants podcast. It's a story in a story.
We all know that Bryce is about 47 years old.
Okay.
However, he was asked his age in South Africa, and this fool said, I am in my early to late
20s. Okay. Where's the lock?
I'm in my early to late 20s.
Okay. The lie detector determined that is the truth.
Fair enough. Continue your story.
So like I said, in my early to late 20s, I was about 3 when Survivor came on. And I very vividly remember seeing this African-American woman with short hair. And at that time in my like young gay Bryce, you know, that's before I accepted I was like gay, you know, but you know, I always knew like I always liked the female wrestlers. I always liked, you know, the music video Destiny's Child, you know, I always like, I was like, oh, look at this girl. Like, and you know, she was a female, but she was like strong and built. And I just remember seeing her. And so I didn't really watch After Survivor season 1, but she always, and then, you know, I tune back in, you know, Gobon, you know, Sari, but just seeing her, and I always felt like she was due unjust. And then, you know, fast forward 10, 15 years, I have the opportunity to meet the winner of Ghost Island. That's my dad.
Thank you, son.
You're welcome, Dad. Can I have some quick?
Shit show up.
Call my mom. Yes, please send me here. Use my phone and call her because we would like to know who she is.
Goodbye.
Anyway, to meet Wendell and then to have the opportunity to know that, like, one of my true Survivor legends, Ramona, lives in the city and gotten to meet her and not only be able to meet her, but to say that, like, she's my friend. And then to learn that she's going on this trip with us was crazy.
Yes, it was crazy.
But Ramona turned into a beast, a warrior. There was like two Ramonas. Okay. It was like Ramona, hey, girlfriend. And it was Ramona, I will eat you alive.
Big facts.
Okay. Like, and there was like no separating the two. And you got into, I will eat you alive, Ramona. She will eat you alive. Me and Ramona even got into a little argument at one of the challenges because, and mind you know Ramona, my boo. But I was having flashbacks to Kageon and my tribe, we had a glitch in one of our challenges. And like all the teams thought we were like complaining. And Ramona was like, so are we. We having one of them too. And listen, like I said before, I came to play. I'm like, look at ours. Look at ours. Ramona was like, look at mine. Like, and we going back and forth. And people looking at us like, oh my God. And then after Ramona's team won, and then my team came in second, who was no tribal that night. You know, after the game over, me and Ramona go over, hug each other like, love you, boo. Like, would you not say that, like, Ramona absolutely stole the show?
The show. She was probably in the top 1 to 2 challengers out there.
The show. Who was the, if she's one of the two, who will be the other two?
I'm saying she's one of the top 2 competitors out there. Okay. You know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying, Purple Pants.
It must be Bryce Isaiah Crowley. Okay. I don't think he's talking about you, you stupid little dumb butt wearing the same underwear. Okay.
Tell him, Timmy, he wore the same drawers for 2 weeks in a row and they happened to be my drawers and I said, don't return that.
That's why you call him sis. Get your son.
That's exactly why I call you sis.
Get your son. But Ramona killed it. And I'm so upset that, you know, we could not get her voicemail in time. But here is a promise here at the Purple Pants Podcast. We will have the true queen, the legend, Miss Ramona here on the podcast because she absolutely, she killed it.
Respect. Can we speak on how hard she played?
Hard she played is not even an aspect. When you say somebody left it all out on the field and gave it 100%, like, and Ramona is, I don't even want to say a woman of a certain age because she ain't even a woman of a certain age, but you know, Ramona is a player.
She came to play.
She probably won the most challenges for tribes and the most immunity challenges.
Yes. And there was one immunity challenge that had everyone running all across the field.
That was the challenge.
The legs of the runner challenge. Right. You know, when Mr. Legs of a Runner himself decided to walk a little bit, we thought he was a bear. I'm looking at all of these things hanging on your wall. They look like medals. I don't know. That says 15K finisher. But Legs of a Runner was walking out there.
It was hot as hell. And first of all, I got done that challenge first. But yeah, I had to pace myself.
Okay. Someone else paced herself and she happened to win the challenge.
That is true.
This challenge involved these players running all across the field to get puzzle pieces or some kind of pieces to stack. They ran here. They ran there. They ran all across the field. They ran in the lake. They had to run through the water. They got all the pieces. They brought them back and they had to stack them high. When Miss Ramona got back, stacked them and won the challenge, she won immunity. She ended up almost passing out. That's how hard she went.
That's how much she gave it. And what I just think is so crazy is that, like, that heat was hot. I mean, and we probably, with all of the running, I would probably say it was probably about 3 miles of running in South African sun. Remember, we are sleeping on the ground. Remember, we have a limited amount of water. And it just shows you the determination of Ramona, because at any point in time, she could have like almost passed out.
She went until she almost passed out, and she won. That's how that's
won.
Now, and I am not taking anything away from Ramona.
There's nothing to be took away.
Nothing to be took away. But when the ambulance was coming, and the gentleman jumped out of the ambulance, I remember one Bryce Isaiah saying, "Oh, he killed him."
He was. I told you I was looking for that black man.
Anyway, we bring Ramona to a safe space with air conditioning. We feed her water. We hydrate her. And we say, your life is more important than this game right now. We love you to death. She didn't want to stop competing. But we said, your life is more important to us and your friendship and who you are. And Bryce, in front of these two medics, starts coughing because Bryce wants CPR from the guy. Talk about and Bryce jumps in the gurney because Bryce wants them to take care of him. It's not about you, Purple Pants. Show me the lie.
I was looking for the black mama. Oh, if I had to get in the
airport.
But so what Wendell is saying is true. Yes, I did jump in there. And yes, I was
coughing.
Coughing. They didn't know what to do. But back to Ramona. She was so not even like, I mean, the determination of her saying, this is what I came for. It just was truly, 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 truly inspiring. And I literally am getting chills right now because it's like, you talk about the game Survivor, you talk about your greatest, like these major people who maybe one Survivor, maybe not one Survivor. But to me, I've always said my favorite Survivor players are like the, like people that people don't consider. And to be in the presence of somebody like Ramona is truly life-changing, truly remarkable. She is an amazing woman, and I'm just truly honored to not have only call her my friend, to have traveled with her, to have played a game with her, and to watch somebody that, you know, puts their all into something. It's something that we all hear at the Purple Pants Podcast. You always say, oh my God, Bryce, why are you so positive? Why are you doing this? It's because I surround myself with people that I want to be like, that inspire me, and she is absolutely one of those people. But I wish one of them ambulance come on back, baby. I know. Listen, not love after locker. How about love in South Africa? Oh. But hold on, wait. Oh, is that the phone ringing? Oh, hey. Come on,
get it. Wait.
When I walk,
oh,
turn that shit out.
Oh,
that I come.
Oh, oh, available. iTunes, Google Play, Uncle Cookie. Who is blowing me up like this? I need to know who is blowing me up.
So, for those of you who don't know me, I am Amanda Hoosen, a castaway from season 2 of Survivor South Africa, which was shot in Malaysia. And I was the last member of the jury. I came 3rd, which basically means I was the first loser.
Well, hello, Miss Amanda. And right off the bat, first, if you come into the Purple Pants Podcast, baby girl, you got to be sipping something. I am sipping a little muddled raspberry, blueberry, and strawberry. You know, I'm trying to wash my figure after coming back from South Africa. So I'm drinking a little watermelon seltzer water with some Tito's. What are you drinking, Wendy Z?
You know, I'm drinking on a Bryce Isaiah special called a little muddled blueberry, strawberry, seltzer water, Tito's.
But I also have,
and don't call me basic, I have 2 white claws in hand as well.
I hate those things.
I got them from you, Bryce.
Amanda, let me know what you sipping on, sis.
So right off the bat, I have to just let you know that I am sipping on an ice cold glass of Prosecco. Did you expect anything less from me?
And I wouldn't expect anything less. Baby girl was hot.
How's it? Do you still remember what how's it means? Remember we had this whole conversation that it's kind of like, nah, I mean, where do you know what I mean is really just one word. So in South Africa, as you hopefully remember, how is it going is just how's it? So I'll say it again. How's it, Bryce, and the Purple Pants podcast land?
How's it, boo? You already know I remember that. I would never forget anything like you. You are such an amazing star to me. But real quick, what was it like meeting me? I'm dying to know. What did you think?
I didn't really get to spend time with you, Bryce, until we made the merge, which I wasn't really expecting. In between challenges, we sort of kind of were talking to each other like, hey, boo. And then I learned, and I know you're going to criticize me because I don't say this correctly, but here's my attempt. Baby, boy. Was that good? By far, you are one of the most hilarious human beings that I've ever met in my life. The best night was definitely the last night we spent in the bush after we merged. I have never laughed so hard under an African skyline the way we did that night. And then the tears were rolling because we were laughing, and then the tears were rolling because we were crying. And so what an emotional roller coaster it was. But that is the crazy thing about this game, right? You form these lifelong friendships that you never expected, especially when you're playing, quote unquote, a mini version of Survivor. And I just will carry that memory with me for a very, very, very long time.
So, Amanda, it was an honor to play with you. You came a little bit late, but I could tell how great your game was because as soon as you got there, you made relationships with everyone. You and I connected and all that. But then there was my untimely demise.
Enough.
So after that, and I start coming as a spectator and watching these tribals, I start seeing you guys, especially Mr. Bryce Isaiah, Mr. Purple Pants himself, shooting blow darts at everybody in tribal. Can you tell me about this blow dart situation? What happened with Ramona or Bryce or whatever? What happened with the blow dart?
Guys, you have to understand, we get to the fire pit area. And Bryce decides to start imitating Ramona. And Ramona was the champion in this dart throwing, blowing competition that we had to do for one of the challenges, like, I don't know, the day before, whatever. So Bryce starts to imitate Ramona. And basically, he takes an air dart, a picture like playing an air guitar, except it's an air dart. And he starts coming up with insults to for people, which we are going to make into a GIF. In fact, I think the air dart needs its own Twitter account. So if you picture a dart popping a balloon, that's like an insult to someone, right? Or as Bryce said, the first thing he said was, give me my money. Then we blindsided someone from South Africa that I know from a different season named Tony. And so Bryce's second little gif was, the tribe has spoken. Then they blindsided me the next day. So as I get voted out, guess what Bryce does? He gets up on the podium and he's like, Amanda, the tribe has spoken. So the air dart became the signature of the merged tribe towel. I am going to use that probably in every board meeting that I'm going to be in for the next 10 years.
I'm going to go on Amazon and get a blow dart for myself and for Timmy. Because the amount of trash Bryce has been talking about the two of us all day, we're going to need to do some target practice.
I want a blowdart. Give me a blowdart, Dad.
I got one for you, too. Okay? Amazon Prime. Anyway, Amanda, quick question about getting voted out. I was voted out in an epic blindside with only one vote cast against me because my man Ace decided to use an idol and idol me out. But about your vote out, what was your favorite part of being voted out?
One of my favorite parts about getting voted out, though, was watching everyone's confessionals, like while they were voting me out. And Mr. Bryce walked up very confidently
to the parchment paper where he was about to write my name down. And I'm not lying, guys. Verbatim, this is what he said. He was like, listen, there can only be one queen bee, okay? So, Amanda, you need to go get me some honey.
Yes, queen. Get the queen bee some honey. Period. You had to go, boo.
She had to go. Dang, that's crazy, man. You sent my sis out of there like
that. That's my girl, though. You know I love my girl, though. You know, but listen, it's all, listen, like I said, it's only one queen bee. And literally, I knew that it was either her or I. And so, listen, I had to take her out.
I feel like you have more to tell us about your time with Mr. Bryce Isaiah.
We can't get through this podcast, though, without talking about the after party at the hotel lobby. The hotel lobby in this case being the bungalow that I was sharing with Ramona, Shona, and Rudes. Rudes being the overall winner of the Battle of the Bush, a South African super span, I might add.
Oh, Amanda!
Of course, Ace from another season of Survivor SA, and Purple Pants had to join the party. But you can't have an after party without a speaker. So Purple Pants came prepared with a speaker, and the first thing he did was play the jump off.
Back up for the hot take up in the graveyard is when you get
Purple Pants now, it's the jump off.
Fire, fire, fire. You know what, Amanda?
Witch queen.
You follow my Instagram, then you already know the rest, baby. But
it's a whole performance, and I have it documented. As I should.
Well, actually, we should get that video from you pretty soon, Mr. Wendeezy.
I'll see what I can do.
My dad's busy, so he's not going to do what you want him to do when you want him to do it.
Tell him, Timmy.
I'm so tired of this little demon child, as Desi put it.
Sorry, Amanda. Back to you. Word on the block is you got a connection to Philly?
I have quite a connection with America because I lived in the U.S. for 9 years. I went to Drexel University, which is in Philadelphia. I saw Ramona wearing a Howard University t-shirt as I arrived. Both my sister and my niece graduated from Howard. H-U, you know. So I was really happy that there was at least some kind of a connection I could make quickly, because the thing about this version of playing Survivor is that you have everything but time. On the island, you have nothing but time. So time became really, really, really crucial. And I had to find a way to bond with these people because Lord knows they were trying to get rid of Amanda Houston as soon as humanly possible.
And baby girl, the first time we was on a tribe together... humanly possible. But seriously, Amanda, you and I talk all the time. You know how I feel about you. I'm so happy that I was able to meet you. You are literally my soul sister from South Africa. You are the yin to my yang. I love you, boo.
Love you, Amanda.
Thank you so, so, so much for coming on the Purple Pants podcast, boo.
Much appreciated.
This has been so much freaking fun. I can't wait to come back to Philly and hang out with people from my alma mater, my old school friends, and my new school friends. I hope that I get to see you super soon. Bye, baby boy. P.S. Are you coming to my wedding or what?
Oh, I still am like, yeah, you invite me to the wedding. It's here at the Purple Pants podcast. We didn't do the church announcement, but baby girl, this is the third wedding I've been invited to.
Get a plus one?
I mean, Amanda is a plus one, obviously.
I'm coming with.
Oh, baby boy. Buy a donkey. But yes, I would love to come see a wedding, Amanda. I'm going to try everything possible, but you know, listen over here. I got these bills to pay, but I am fingers crossed, God willing, and buying a donkey, we gonna be over there. Okay.
Now, as I was saying, Bryce, I need to get up out of here.
Okay.
Okay, you've been taking up all my afternoon, and I'm trying to be about it. But I wouldn't be doing justice to my South African folks if I didn't say my newest terminology.
Okay.
Lip ice.
Oh.
What's lip ice, Bryce?
Oh.
What's lip ice, Bryce?
Listen, let me just tell you real quick. Lip ice is also known here in America as chapstick. But also, I got a bone to pick with a couple people. With Nick, Jake, John, Ace, Samantha, Rue, Eric, Shona, Amanda. Here in America, we don't share no lip ice, okay? Yeah.
All right.
And I brought my little cocoa butter. My cocoa. Let me put some more right now. Okay. I brought my good old cocoa butter. And so I realized that it was Survivor. We were out in South Africa. But baby, bitch, they was passing around lip ice.
They were.
Like, it was juice.
I needed some.
And
chapped.
Yeah, so was I. That's why I was prepared.
Your kneecaps were chapped too, your ankles. You had some ankles. Speaking of those ankles,
no.
We need to talk about those ankles.
No.
Because
hey, you gotta go.
As you properly lubricated those ankles, you wouldn't have taken that spill in that challenge that almost led to us losing that challenge. Can we talk about it? It was a 6 or 7 step fall that you took. We were running around. Trying to catch the other tribe.
Oh.
Bryce was like, you know what? I could carry multiple.
No. No. What had happened was Ace dropped out of the challenge. All and right. So he was like, Bryce, I'm dropping out of the challenge. So I legs of a runner. I'm like, okay, let's try to make this transition like peacefully.
All
right. He passed me the bucket at the same time. We happened to be turning. I lost my footing. And I just, went side to side.
Left to right.
So all of a sudden, I just was in the air for a couple of seconds.
I look back and see my sis flying. I see limbs everywhere. Every which way. His limbs, his shoulder blades are flying.
Baby
and
boy.
He falls. In the dust.
Took a tumble
and start sliding.
But let me ask you this. Did I get up?
You got up.
Did I get up?
Or else you would have gotten dragged.
Did I get up? And then did, of course, my compassionate friend Wendell, after I got up and picked my bucket back up, he's like, let's go!
Yes.
And they just start taking off running.
Let's go.
I'm dizzy.
Thankfully. Man, and you talk about I'm legs of a runner.
I mean, I am legs of a runner. I'm not hands of a bucket. Okay, legs of a runner, not hands of a bucket.
All right, well, the challenge had you holding a bucket, okay? And it, fortunately, this fool gets up. He has dirt and mud and dust and water all over himself. He's all cut up, scratched up. Oh my goodness.
It's a lot.
It was the most.
You probably looked really stupid, and that's what you get.
That's what you get.
Okay.
Check out my Instagram for the slow-mo video.
I'm about done with this.
I'm not done with it. I have one last thing, guys.
Baby.
Can we ever so slightly and politely talk about your flatulence?
You said you had to go.
Every time anything would happen, Bryce is farting. We be in camp. It's at night. We hear toot. We're like, what's going on? He's like, oh, I got nervous. Tribal council's going on right now. Fool, you're not in tribal council. It'd be before a challenge. Toot. Oh, I got nervous. We got a challenge. Can we talk about that? Did you need some tongues out there? You nasty.
Oh, I can't believe you just brought that up.
Why are you farting every other second out there?
I was nervous.
You were forcing them out.
No, I wasn't. I told you about that 15-hour plane and that food that we ate from the dinner, the wine, nope. The snack, mm-mm. The wine. Mm-mm. It just had my stomach all messed up.
Okay, all right. I have no more.
Oh, I can't believe you just tried me like that. I wasn't expecting that.
You deserve it.
Oh, but I appreciate you. But speaking of thoughts, it ain't nasty. Real quick, obviously this isn't the normal format of the Purple Pants Podcast, but really what is the normal format of the Purple Pants Podcast? Because we just can't start it. But it wouldn't be a Purple Pants Podcast if I did not name the freakiest freak of the Survivor Bush. And it would absolutely have to be a true winner of Survivor, because you know I'd be around, you know, these whatever winners, but it would have to be a true winner of Survivor. True. So I have to name the freakiest freak of the Battle of the Bush. Would have to go to my mate, Tom Swartz.
This is Tom Swartz, the winner of Survivor South Africa Season 6 in the Philippines. And I love the Purple Podcast. But more than that, I love my man Bryce. Oh. And he has the most amazing nipples.
Oh.
And he's got legs
of
a runner.
Yes, Tom, I miss you. I miss you, baby boy. Well, guys, that's kind of concluding this week's episode of the Purple Pants Podcast. We back in effect. You will see me next week. I have to give a special thanks to Bill and his wife.
Yes. Bill, you put this amazing, amazing experience together for us. We couldn't have been there. No one could have been there without you. Ultimately, it's all for the kids and these children. They've been through so much, and we just were out there to raise money for them and help them, to give them a brighter future. We truly thank you. We hope this thing lives on past this 1 year. We're going to do everything here on American soil to make that happen. And
absolutely.
We truly thank you.
Thank you so much, Bill. Thanks so much to the volunteers. Thanks so much to the Survivor fans that donated to all of our charities. Thanks for everyone to coming out to One Night in Philly to help benefit the Nailady Christian Academy. It was such an amazing. And if you guys want to see any of this footage that we keep talking about, make sure you check out the Is It Worth Playing For? Is that the name of it, Wendell?
Worth Playing For.
It's a Facebook group. You can see the photos that I'm tagged on, and you all want to check them out because you can see all of the videos of all of the challenges. But before we go, I also just want to give a big, big, big shout out to my friend, my brother.
The snack.
I don't know nothing about that, but Wendeezy for coming out again, being the second co-host. You know, a lot of people want to be here. It's a covenant spot, and I absolutely want to get to everybody. But I just want to give a big, big shout out. And from my production staff here at the Purple Pants Podcast, I just want to give you, you know, a little present. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is drinkable.
Okay. But you know, shout out to you. Thanks for coming through. We appreciate you. And listen, y'all already know you're going to see me, hear me next week. But normally I say, normally I say baby boy. But tonight I'm saying, buy a donkey,
buy a donkey,
buy a, buy a, buy a donkey. Oh, lecker. Buy a donkey. Oh, baby boy.
It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.